can see how that would mess you up. Cool. Yeah, but no, but only like sniff, not breathe. So we're good. We're good on the breathing thing. Jess. I'm going to snag this Bible. It says, "How this doesn't belong to anybody because she doesn't exist anymore." This is Holly Baker. She doesn't exist anymore. So I want everybody to take out their swords and say this prayer with me. Everybody? Lord, I have your word and I know it's true. I have everything it says I have. I am everything it says I am. And I can do everything it says I can do. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So, I want to encourage the parents to really work with the kids today. Really encourage them to look up these words, even though they're going to be up here. So it's going to be a nice little short teaching, but it's a good one because I think everybody here, even the little guys, can get something out of it. I think the little guys will get less out of it than the big guys will, because they already know this story. So, today's message is titled, Responding to the Caller. And we don't have a lot of scriptures to read, but the main crux of where we're going today is out of Matthew 14, verses 22 to 33. And that's going to be the longest one. The rest of them will be pretty short. Now I'm reading New King James Version. So for you NIV or King James Version readers, you know, it'll be similar, but, that's okay. You can leave the NIV version on there. It's okay. Most people here have NIV, so we'll work with everybody. So 22 through 33. Okay. And this is a great, great thing that Jesus did with the disciples, okay? But before we get to that scripture, I just want to kind of give us a little primer of where we're going. So Jesus, he's known as the Great Shepherd, right? Okay? He's the Great Shepherd. And we are his sheep, right? Okay. When Jesus calls out to us, it's our job as sheep to go when he calls. Amen? That's what we're supposed to do. All right? When he calls us, it could be for a multitude of different reasons. He could just be calling us to gather to his side because he wants to be in our presence. He could be calling us to keep us from danger. There could be a wolf. Right? One thing we know is that when he calls us, the reason he calls us is always, and I'll stress always, okay, for our benefit. Okay? He does not call us because there's something ill he has towards us. Okay? He does not have bad things in store for us. But for some reason, we don't respond when he always calls us. For some reason, we don't go when he calls us. Maybe God, because God's awesome, actually saw this coming, right? Because he knows everything that's going to happen. So he even knew that eventually God's people would not call, would not respond when he calls. So what could keep us from responding to his call? So we're going to look at Matthew. It says, immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he sent the multitudes away. Okay, this was after he just got done feeding the multitudes with how many fish? How many fish and loaves, right? Very small amount. He fed a great multitude. Okay. So he just got done performing this great, awesome miracle to all these people. And now the time has come for him to depart and move on. So he sends the disciples away, right? He sends the multitudes away. He went up on the mountain by himself to pray. And now when evening came, he was alone. But the boat that he sent the disciples out to was now in the middle of the sea, being tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. So now they're stuck in the middle of the sea, and there's a storm tossing the boat around. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them. What was he doing, guys? Walking on water. All right? And the disciples saw him walking on the sea, and they were troubled, and they immediately thought, it's a ghost! They were scared. They didn't know who it was. And they cried out. But immediately Jesus spoke, and he said, be of good cheer, it is I. Do not be afraid. And Peter, the only one, Peter, answered him and said, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. So Jesus said, come. He called him. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on water to go to Jesus. Just like Jesus was walking, so did Peter. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. And he began to sing, crying out, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. And those who were in the boat came and worshipped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. So we know that story, right? Let's take a look at this and really see what happened here in this whole unfolding, because a lot happened. The first thing that happened is there was a storm, okay? Jesus gave them an instruction to go take the boat and go cross over, and he would catch up, right? They didn't care about how Jesus was going to get on the other side, right? They're just like, okay, Lord, whatever you say, we'll go do it. You know, they were good at that. They got that down. They had that down. Whatever Jesus says, we follow, okay? So we're expected to follow, but what happened? What happened when they did what Jesus told them to do? They were met with a storm, right? I know, Caleb, I know you know the story really well, right? Okay? So they were met with a storm. Now the storm's happening, right? Jesus didn't send them into a storm. He didn't send them intentionally, I'm going to throw them into the storm. See how they handle it. That's not what happened, right? Who made that happen? If it wasn't, it was our enemy, the devil, right? Well, why did he do that? What was the reason for the devil to throw a storm into the pot? Because he wanted them to worry. He wanted to cast doubt. He wants to turn us against God. So now Jesus goes and recognizes they're panicking. Oh Lord, we're going to perish out here in the sea. Oh no, what are we going to do? They panicked. Jesus responds when he sees Jesus, right? And Jesus calls out to him, says, don't worry, it's me. Peter turns around and goes, what? Call me out if it's you. Tell me to come. Right? It was like, Jesus, I'm not sure if it's you, Jesus, but if it's you and you call me, I'll do it. Like, you need to test God. You don't need to test God. But even though Peter was doing this, Jesus told him to come, and what happened? What did Peter do? Did he sink? No. He walked right out on water, right? Take a minute here. What was still going on in the sea? The storm. The same storm that they were terrified of. The same storm that has been going on the entire time while Jesus was standing out there on the sea calling out to him. It's still going on. But all of a sudden, because Jesus told Peter to come, did Peter care about the storm? No. It went away. He trusted Jesus completely in that very moment. And he walked out on water. Jesus will call us to do incredible things. regardless of the situations that are around us. Incredible things, just like walking on water. But then something happened that caused Peter to start to sink. And here's what's funny about it. It wasn't something new. It was the same storm that was going on the whole time. Now, he just happened to realize, oh no, the storm's still going on. It didn't stop. And the same thing that they were worried and fearful about, even in the midst of him walking on water, drew his attention away again. And distracted him just enough to cause him to stumble. Wow. That's amazing. The enemy will use even the simplest things to cause doubt. Even sometimes, the same things that seem to have worked before, he's going to use them again. Because guess what? He fooled you once with it. Maybe he can fool you again. And yet, here Peter shows that it actually works. The devil will get us to fall using the same simple tricks every time. Stuff that we already seen how it works. And seen that Jesus can beat him. Yet we fall into it. What happened that caused that to happen? See, you young guys, you guys are the inspiration. That's why you're here today. You're actually here to help us. You're here to educate us today. Because you haven't been tainted by the wiles of the world. You haven't been tainted by the wiles of the world. We have. See, what happened was, is Peter was tainted by the wiles of the world. The world's standards, the world's way of thinking, his mind had become confused to know that, well, there's storms going on. That means the water's going to cause the boat to capsize and cause us to drown. Jesus, you guys believe Jesus can do anything, right? So even a storm's not going to stop you. You're not going to drown, right? Right? How awesome is that? You encourage us. When we're created, we're all given the same measure of faith. And as we grow old, if we're not careful, so does our faith. But you guys, you're so young, your faith is new and exuberant. You can believe the impossible, right? So what does Jesus do? Well, we go back just a little. We go ahead. We're going ahead to 18, Matthew 18, verses 2 through 4. He says, Jesus calls again, a little child to him. If Jesus called one of you guys to come to him, would you come? Little guys? Would you come? Right? Would you do whatever he told you to do? Right? Why? Why? Why, Caleb? Because he's Jesus, but why? I mean, that's a good answer, but why? Because you trust him. Right? You trust him immensely. So he calls a child out to him. He says, assuredly, I say to you, unless you are converted and become as, what does he say? Like children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child, pointing to the little child, I'm sure, is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. How awesome is that? The little guys are getting a shout out from God. And we just sit there and we're like, what? Why? I don't get it. The Pharisees were like, but Jesus, we did all these things. We studied your word. We know what the law says. It doesn't say anything about little children. Why? Why little children? He was using the children as an illustration to educate every single person, young and old, about the secrets to the kingdom of God. And he gave two conditions. The first condition was, we must be converted. What is conversion? Some of you guys Little guys may not know what this means. Some of the teenagers probably do. But to be converted isn't just to tell somebody, oh, I'm saved, I got saved. Being converted means you walk out your salvation every day. You're not ashamed of who Jesus is, and you're not ashamed of him dwelling inside of you. You let him out. Amen? The second part, the second condition is the one that confounded everybody. They got the conversion part, right? The older guys, we got the conversion part. We got that down. We're good. Maybe some of us don't. Maybe we need to repent. Okay? But the second part was the part that got everybody. You must be as little children. Why? So what are we supposed to do? Kick a soccer ball around all day? Right? Is that what he meant? Brooke's shaking her head. No. We're supposed to play video games all day? Where's Ian? We're supposed to play video games? Is that what Jesus was saying? No. That wasn't what he was saying. What was he saying, guys? Well, here's what he was saying. Why children? Because children believe the impossible is possible. Children believe that their father will protect them. Children love unconditionally. Children will give sacrificially. Children do not hold grudges. Children respond when they're called. And children trust openly. That's why Jesus uses a little child to try and get us to understand that if we want to enter into the kingdom of heaven, this is what it meant. It didn't mean we had to be like a child necessarily, but there was an inherent flaw in our makeup that as we got older, we started putting these things aside. We started casting these things aside because the world told us else. The world says, well, you can't believe the impossible. Your eyes tell you, you can't do it. The world tells you to hold a grudge because your brother's probably going to stab you in the back again. See, the world started training us and God stopped training us. For you guys, God's constantly training you and you guys are receptive to it. That's why when we pray for you guys up here and we tell you how you guys are going to encourage us when you're done your teachings, it's true. Because you do. You educate us so much. You're that important. And then he tells us something else. He says, therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child. Did you guys know that you're an example of humility? Did you know that, Brooke? Do you know what humility is? No. Well, let's find out what humility is. Humility means to bring yourself low. So you guys are already low. You're already down to the ground. Right? But the thing is, when you get up here, you tend to think yourself is higher. You tend to think that you're better. You're bigger. You have power and you have authority. And boy, I will wield it. But that's not what Jesus wants you to do. He wants you to be like a little child. Little child, you have power and you have authority. Did you know that? Did you know you have power and authority? You do. Did you know you have power and authority? You do. The difference is that it's not tainted. It's not corrupted by the world. And you guys can do even greater things because you haven't let the world come in and step down on you. We have. And so what we have to do is we have to humble ourselves. We have to come down to your level. That's what God's trying to tell us. We have to come down to our level and we have to allow ourselves to have what's known as a childlike faith. Back to a faith where we can believe the impossibles are possible. Back to a faith that we would give sacrificially, knowing that Daddy's got it. He's got it covered. The other thing that happens when we humble ourselves and we come down is our perspective changes. You ever been down on the ground, real low? And you look up and everything looks different. I challenge you guys. Adults too. Get down on the floor and play with your kids one day. And see how different the world looks. You can't see the problems. You can't see your bills on the top of the counter. All you see are the toys on the floor. So what happens? Turn with me to Romans. It's our last scripture. Romans 8. Verses 28-30. See, if we embrace this childlikeness and we come and we agree with God that, like I said, you guys, you little guys, you got this. You got this covered. You receive this promise every day. For us, it's a challenge. For us guys, it's a challenge to receive this promise that he gives us in Romans chapter 8, verses 28-30 says, "And we know that all things," say all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to the purpose, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. Say amen.
Amen.
Amen. See, we were called to his purpose. Every single one of us, young, old, doesn't matter. You have a purpose. Not to be confused with a porpoise. Okay? You have a purpose. You do not have a dolphin. But there's a bunch of requirements that it seems like there are for us. Because we think about these things. We go, oh, well, we got to do these things first. Right? I had a nice time with Mike yesterday. We don't have to do anything. All we have to do is what? Love God. That's it. That's the only requirement. All things work together for good, right? To those who love God. How many people love God? Well, good, because if there wasn't one in hand up, I was going to get mad. Okay. Not only now do we have to meet that condition, that requirement, but here's the kicker. God created you to love him. You were created to love him. He designed us innately to be conformed into his image. He made us in his likeness. So when he sent his son to die on the cross, we were given access to finally meet that confirmation. We could now be conformed into his likeness because he paid for everything. Amen? There's no barrier now. There's no restrictions. The veil was torn in two. Amen? Alright? So not only did this happen, but you have to then look at it and go, well, if that's the case and he pre-designed us all to have these things, then he even pre-designed the method for which we were able to obtain this. So that means everything leading up to the cross was already designed. How crazy is that? That means the whole Bible, every page from beginning to end, was pre-designed just because God loves you and he wants to have access to you all the time. That's pretty incredible. The next thing we can understand now from this is that we were designed to be called. Because he says, you were predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, right? Moreover, whom he predestined, he also called. So that means he's going to call you. He's calling you now. He's going to call you later. He's going to call you all the time. Sometimes you're only called once. Sometimes you're called consistently. But you will be called. And here's the thing. When he's calling you, he's going to justify you, which means he's going to be there right beside you, supporting you, showing you what needs to be done, leading you along. And then when all's said and done, he's not only going to just leave you there and go, good job. No, he's going to glorify in you. He's going to adore you. He's going to praise you. He's going to lift you up because he's proud. He's a proud. How awesome is that? Being called is not some magnanimous thing. It's not this huge unreeling thing that God's voice echoes and we hear it and we go, oh, I was called, and light shines down. That's not how it works. All it is God calling because he just wants to hear your voice. He wants you to respond. That's it. He just wants you to respond. Nothing more, nothing less. And the key is our response. Not what we were called to, but the fact that we just respond is all that matters. Jesus called to Peter simply just to reassure him he was there. And he was with them. And he wasn't a ghost. That was the only reason. Peter walking on water was simply just to show the rest of the disciples that he was Jesus. Nothing more. Once Jesus was with them, they were no longer worried about the storm. Why? Because Jesus had done this before. They know. They were confident. Okay? How we respond, when we respond, and why we respond will tell a whole lot about your faith. What we need to do, though, is we need to humble ourselves and pray that our faith would be that of a little child, so that when we are called, the how, the when, and the why are irrelevant. It isn't about that. It has nothing to do with it. The reason we respond is simply because your dad calls. And hopefully, you little guys will continue to respond to the call that God has in your life, because let me tell you guys, every single time you respond to what Jesus is telling you and you walk it out, you encourage us to do better. You encourage us to do a better job at that exact same thing. So I want to give you guys the biggest and the biggest encouragement, because you guys are all, you guys today have done some of showing us how we can do a better job at serving, how we can step up and we can sing praise to God and not be ashamed, not to keep our voices quiet, not to sit, but to stand and dance and sing, to welcome people in the name of Jesus Christ. I'm looking forward to the day you guys go out and lay hands on us and pray for us and bring prophetic words, because God's speaking to you and he wants to use you. It's awesome. It's so awesome. And you guys respond to the call and you encourage us to do the same. So I just want to encourage everybody, just stand up. Ow. That hurts. For one moment, I just want us to sit and really think about